Hello, everyone. Thanks for checking out this special episode of Really Dicey. This is Manny, and I am here with Mike Mason.
Mike Mason is the Call of Cthulhu creative director for Chaosium.
Today, we're going to talk about Call of Cthulhu Arkham. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm great, thanks. Yeah, thanks for inviting me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
And so, yes, I love talking about cities. I grew up in one, probably one of the biggest ones in the world, New York City, and it's left an impression on me when I've run my games. So I'm really excited that they're bringing back Arkham. Now, it's not a reprint. It's a new source book, but it's based on something that was published in the 90s. Am I correct?
Yeah, so effectively it's kind of like a second edition, a revamped kind of from the ground up, but using that earlier book that came out, you know, what, nearly 30 years ago now, as the basis, the foundation, and then we kind of built some more layers on top kind of thing and added in some more details where we felt it would be useful for people. So yeah, but it does take its roots from the original book, which was put together and written by Keith Herber, who used to kind of do what I do now back in the 90s as a kind of a line editor for Call of Cthulhu. So a lot of Keith's work and fingerprints are all still in the new version, but as I say, we've taken that and built further upon it.
I'm always interested of why Chaosium would pick certain books to work on, because it seems like you come from always different directions. Cult of Cthulhu, for example, is one of my favorite new books you've just put out, and I love the direction you went with that. So I'm very happy to see that this has come out. What has made you decide, like, hey, let's bring this book back?
The kind of roots of the kind of Call of Cthulhu game obviously go back to the kind of the original kind of fiction written by Lovecraft, but not only him, but also, you know, Auguste Deleuze and what was, you know, termed the Lovecraft Circle of other authors who were writing mythos stories in Lovecraft's day, and then obviously in the many years beyond, continues to write. And many of those stories, take place in the town that Lovecraft kind of created, Arkham, as their kind of home base. And it's that kind of classic kind of New England kind of setting that is very much kind of often seen as like the core of Call of Cthulhu. So what we wanted to do was kind of, you know, really kind of focus on that kind of New England fictional setting as a basis, because many of the scenarios that we've published, you know, over 40 years as Chaosium have been set in this fictional Arkham. And of course, with the book being kind of out of print 30 years old, it kind of felt we really need to kind of come back to this and refresh it and provide people with a context for what is Arkham, where is it, what goes on there. And not only as a kind of a bit of, you know, additional background to all those scenarios that people can play, but also to provide it as a effectively like a sandbox for people to, you know, play all their games in if they want to. If they want to run a campaign kind of at the heart of, you know, the kind of Call of Cthulhu setting, then, you know, we needed a baseline for that, and providing that baseline in the Arkham book gives people, you know, opportunities to set adventures there, whether they're one shots or to build, you know, a long running campaign where the, you know, the investigators move to or are born and raised in Arkham. And then because Arkham connects to all these other kind of fictional and real world locations, you know, it's not far from Boston or Salem, equally Dunwich, you know, the Dunwich Horror is, you know, a little up the road. Innsmouth, infamous Innsmouth, is, you know, not that far away. As is the fictional town of Kingsport by the coast. So all these kind of locations sync together. And so as Chaosium did back in the 1990s, there was a series of books produced. There was Arkham, there was a Dunwich book, a Kingsport book, and an Innsmouth book. And funnily enough, our intention as we go forward, now that we have the Arkham book, which is the kind of the real foundation for all of this, out, we can then move on to these other locations and look to do second edition new versions of these classic locations. So people are building, so you've not just got one town to base your campaign out of, you've got a whole region to do it. And obviously, all of these different places I've named all have their own kind of tales to tell and their own distinct characters and stories. And so that kind of builds out and provides people with a wealth of kind of material and ideas to fashion the games as they see fit, whether they're completely, writing all their own scenarios, or whether they're taking pre-published scenarios and kind of, mapping them together to form a campaign, that kind of thing. Any kind of permutation kind of works in that way.
So, if I may ask, I remember when I first heard the name Arkham was actually not through Call of Cthulhu, was through growing up reading Batman comics back in the day. And Arkham is one of those Lovecraft stories that it seems to have seeped out to other IPs or brands, you could say. Why do you think Arkham, especially for those who are just hearing about or maybe surprised that it's actually a Lovecraft from the Lovecraft stories, it's so prevalent in pop culture.
I mean, I mean, to be honest, there's two things that come out of Lovecraft's writing that you see in pop culture today all over the place. One is Arkham, you're quite right, and the other is Cthulhu. That you see Cthulhu on board games and books and our role-playing game and so on and so on. And Arkham's kind of no different. They're two kind of words that have really kind of been taken and used in a whole variety of ways. And obviously that the people have been able to do that because Lovecraft's work effectively became kind of open source in that way. He shared it with other writers, encouraged them to create stories set in Arkham, to use Cthulhu and other monsters, in their own writing. And that kind of germinated into the modern day where we are now with people, doing films and new fiction and TV series and all the rest of it. But they are different. Everyone's got their own kind of flavor. Batman's Arkham is, it's different to, Call of Cthulhu Arkham is very different in a sense. There's obviously lots of similarities at the very root of it, but where they go is very different. And so you might want to see this book of ours as kind of Chaosium's Arkham rather than DC's Arkham or whoever's Arkham. So this is very much kind of our version of Arkham, which is based on those original stories. There's a lot of information and stories about who lives where and what the houses are and so on. And so that's all rooted as a basis for our Arkham. But then we extrapolate and build on 40 years of Call of Cthulhu scenarios and supplements. And we build some of that back into Arkham. So all these things hopefully kind of line up in a way. So if you're playing Miss Dews from the scenario in the Keeper screen pack for Call of Cthulhu, which is set in Arkham, you can go to this book and look at, well, what else is on that street? Who else lives there? And you can, in theory, expand that scenario if you want to, using the material in the Arkham book.
So for anyone that has the previous book from long ago, what would you say is the major differences between that book and this book, besides obviously that this is made for 7th edition Call of Cthulhu?
Sure. I think what people will find is a lot more usable and helpful content for those running games in Arkham. For instance, there are more locations than there were in the old book. You've kind of rounded a few more things out, and the information on the locations is more. There's more of it. So in the old book, there may be some locations that literally had a single sentence to say, this is, I don't know, for sake of argument, this is the post office. And that's all it says. In this version of Arkham, you've got that, but you've got a bit more. You've also got in pretty much every location some named NPCs, which weren't in the original book. Because obviously when you're running a game and it's a big thing like Arkham, and you're trying to come up with NPC names on the fly, it can be quite hard to do. So having, every location have at least one name attached to it, here's a character you can pull out when you need them, gives that extra kind of help for the keeper. There's further things as well. There's a whole chapter about kind of being an investigator in Arkham. So there's like information about, well, where can you stay? which hotels, which are the expensive hotels, which are the cheap hotels. What maybe you want to buy a property. What do you do if you've got a job in Arkham, or where could you go for one? There's also a kind of a new kind of optional rule around reputation, because if you're living in a place like Arkham and you are spending every day running down the street with a shotgun shooting invisible monsters in the sky, people are going to look at you a little differently, aren't they? So reputation can play a role if you want to, and there's a very kind of it's not quite the same reputation system that you may find in Regency Cthulhu, which is quite a much more in-depth version. This is a lighter, more kind of more easier to kind of use in a sense on the fly version of reputation there. And there's also lots more detail about clubs and societies the investigators may want to be members of, and the benefits they can get from joining the local gun club, or joining the local linguist society. And there's clear kind of like benefits to the players and their characters in terms of if they kind of they immerse themselves into the Arkham community, they get something from it, not just hunting down scenarios. They can build their character and further develop their character, which in the campaign play, most players are looking to kind of how do I improve my skills and get my character more involved in the community. And in doing that, there's all these adventure seeds which are now in the book, which a lot of locations have little kind of little seeds about here's something that could happen or does happen, and each of those could form their own scenario as well. So the book is kind of packed with lots of these additional kind of layers of information that keepers can choose to pick from or ignore as they see fit.
So before we get into the chapter by chapter look into the book, I have to say that looking at this book, I'm very impressed at how New England this feels, because I think Massachusetts has a reputation of being very, very blue, very liberal, but it has lots of pockets of how should I say it? I guess you could say appreciation for history. There's certain towns that still look the same as they did maybe 100 years ago, at least architecturally. It's like you mentioned the gun clubs. You'd be surprised. Again, people think Massachusetts is very blue, but there are gun clubs. There are places you can practice your firearms. Despite its tough gun laws. So I, if I may ask, how did the research for this come together? Because this is a very impressive job. It actually feels, it doesn't feel like a generic city. It feels like a New England city.
Well, that's very nice to hear. Thank you for that. The research kind of was there was kind of two halves to the research for the book. There was the what you might call the fictional and mythos side, which spent going back over Lovecraft stories and mythos tales, and also all those scenarios written for Call of Cthulhu from 40 years that are kind of set in around Arkham, and what can we learn or what can we use from those scenarios to inform this new version of Arkham. So that was one side, but the other side was trying to look at the real history of of New England, particularly of the that kind of outside of Boston area, the Essex County kind of area, and that involved kind of looking up the small town little local historical societies, and a lot of them keep really excellent websites about their own communities and their histories, and looking what we could learn or what we could infer for Arkham from those kind of places, looking up wildlife and making sure we're doing that right, and we're not putting polar bears in Arkham because they're not there, and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of kind of what you might call primary research, trying to go looking up old 1920s newspapers and stories and things like that. And but also I had help as well, some friends who are Call of Cthulhu scenario writers and write people like Brian Courtmarsh, who's a librarian in New England. I was able to kind of go to some of these people. Also, Matt Ryan, who has drawn all the beautiful new maps for Arkham. He lives not far from the area, and again, able to kind of draw on some local people who've got, really good local knowledge, draw upon their expertise, and they're also been able to signpost where you should maybe go and look at this, or maybe go and, read this book and that kind of thing. So, it was quite a lot of research, because you imagine then kind of bringing these two halves together and trying to kind of, link them and marry them up, checking your references as you go to make sure you're doing it right, was quite a lot of work, as you can imagine. But what is obviously really encouraging and nice here is that it seems to come out in the book in terms of the authenticity of the detail, which is what I was trying to go for. Hopefully does, come across and doesn't jar with the reader and the keeper, basically.
So the first chapter, usually introductions, we kind of skim through them, but I don't want to pass by this just yet. I'm really intrigued by the history you put into it, especially the early days, the settler days of especially. What can you tell us a little bit about this section? I know it's the shorter section of the book.
Sure. It just provides a bit of context for the town. So it didn't just appear overnight. We want to kind of, we want to get that sense that it's an older town and it has got links back. And one of the areas I kind of was very keen to kind of ensure that we kind of covered to some degree was that, well, what happened before colonists arrived? Who was actually living on the land then? Who was actually, it wasn't called Arkham then, but the land was there. And so, looking at the Misquat, the native people who, were in the area, and what happened to them in an historical context, in a real context, which is obviously important to kind of, take account of. So I wanted to ensure that we kind of had that in there, and then what happened when the colonists arrived, and the which is generally kind of bad news, obviously, for anyone who's already there. And then, the various adversities that those who settled the land, then, what drove them, and what were the key kind of drivers in terms of industry and war and so forth, through the Civil War onwards. And so it was very much kind of trying to get an idea of how the town, went from a few houses into a town, basically. How did it build and why? And just trying to make it feel real, in a sense, trying to give it that kind of a bit of historical fictional realism, but so there's a sense that it's a real place, in a sense. You want to try and get the that it's not just some fantasy village I've created for my fantasy game, that it just exists. We don't need to worry about where it came from. Whereas Arkham, because it's a Call of Cthulhu game, where a lot of the clues you find for the mystery you're currently, in, are in history. So you're looking backwards a lot of the time in Call of Cthulhu. You're looking for clues in ancestry, or who built this building, and why did they build it, and what happened to them, and so having that history kind of there from the very start is a in itself a kind of plot generator for people to kind of be inspired by. So if people wanted to, let's just say, for instance, people wanted to play descendants of the original native people who are still, around, they can, and there's some context for them of why, and what they may be thinking, and so all of those kind of things are possible, I guess, and that's kind of why. I wanted to kind of ensure that we kind of had a sound foundational history. And obviously the original book had history in it as well, and it builds on that. But we've tried to, as in the case for the whole book, try to layer in that kind of a little bit more detail where we can, to make sure it feels right, basically.
So, chapter two, Arkham Investigators. Players, investigators, we love our new options when a book comes out. What can you share with us about this section?
What we're trying to do is think about if you are creating a character who basically lives in Arkham, and what what would that mean in a game? Because most of the time we kind of make the assumption that your investigators are, are kind of new to the area, or and so there's no real benefit to them. So if a scenario is set in Boston and your character is lives in Boston, the only benefit is that you know your way around the transit network. You know where, you know how to find things. But there's not a lot of other benefit to it. So I wanted to kind of build in that kind of feeling that, your character does have a sense of knowing Arkham, at least, at the surface level. So trying to build in kind of options that kind of just kind of tweak the character generation. So in terms of character backstories about people who they might know, and so on, and locations that are, likely to be in Arkham themselves that might have a meaning for their character when you're coming up with a character concept. Trying to kind of steer people into kind of thinking that way about using the material in the book to help inspire, the kind of characters they want to create and use. It kind of goes beyond that into looking at skills, and so I wanted to kind of really codify that kind of local knowledge in a character, because obviously it can be quite useful in a game. So we already have the navigate skill in Call of Cthulhu, but I thought, well, we'll create a kind of a sub skill of navigate Arkham, and that kind of is a kind of a shorthand, because you can have it. All your NPCs who live in Arkham can have that skill at a various percentage, and a quick look at that percentage gives you an idea of how well they actually know Arkham, and the same for the characters. So it's not purely just finding your way around, but it's kind of really getting a feel for, what is going on in Arkham as well. That's kind of mirrored with the kind of the alternate skill of history Arkham. So again, you know a little bit about the history of Arkham, or maybe you know a lot. And maybe there are, levels of information within that that, not many other people know, because your skill rating is pretty high, because, you've been told stories, or you've read the books, or during the course of your investigations, you learn all this as well. So your expertise goes up. And again, that can all potentially be quite useful, when you're in a scenario or a campaign. We also added in a couple of more generic skills that we kind of are kind of seeding into Call of Cthulhu more broadly, like reassure, which is basically a non-clinical version of psychoanalysis in terms of a way to overcome various kind of trauma, fears, and phobias, and that kind of thing, where you are kind of relying, or your friends are actually the ones helping you to pull through. They're encouraging you, they're being supportive, and we felt that was a useful skill to kind of have as a skill in the game anyway. And also, we kind of didn't put it in the original 7th edition rule book, and I'm not sure why we didn't, but we've got the new skill of religion, which is basically an understanding of comparative religions, which in again in the context of Call of Cthulhu, understanding the difference between a mainstream and some sort of sect or cult who've got some kind of fringe understanding or beliefs, could be quite useful, and could be a kind of a way to generate and find clues. So we've kind of defined religion as as its own skill in that sense. But the chapter kind of goes on, as I say, I already mentioned that, it talks about, where you could live in Arkham, where you could work. And there's also a section on improving your skills and how you could do that, and what level of improvement you could, get, and how long it might take. So all that's kind of covered. And then there's a section about finding information. So Arkham's got a lot of different types of organizations and institutions, and each of them has different sorts of information available. And so we've kind of mapped that all out as a guide for keepers and players as well, to kind of, well, I live in Arkham, where would I go to find this? Well, you would kind of know, so here it is, this is where it is, and you can use that as a kind of an aid memoir, or an insight into the various kind of information sources you can find in there. And so yeah, it's kind of very, whilst it's still based the focus is Arkham, it's very, investigator focused. What do I get out of this as an investigator? So there's something there to kind of build upon and inspire the players, not only the keeper in that way.
But chapter three. So, okay. Before I ask you about what is this chapter about? I love that. So I grew up in New York City, and if you've lived there, you know that the streets are like grids. It's all like cut up and square, especially Manhattan. Massachusetts towns, especially actually even the city, Boston. If you drive through there, it's a nightmare because instead of their thinking was that let's just pave the roads that the animals have made for us. So there's lots of circles, lots of strange turns, things like that. And the maps here reflect that. It's not clean, it's not grids, it's not it's you could take the wrong turn somewhere and not sure where you're going, which is great. In a sense, that could be a horror scenario in itself, especially if you're driving. But yes, what can you tell us about this chapter?
Yeah, no, I mean, just to quickly talk about the map for a second, is that, I mean, Matt Ryan, who put the map together, was very conscious about wanting to try and make it look as New England as he could, whilst also kind of keeping it simple enough that you running a game, can use a map effectively. So I'm sure he'd be very pleased to hear what you're saying about that. But this chapter is very much about kind of general information about Arkham, things that are useful for the keeper, in terms of when you're in the middle of a game and it's that kind of thing you haven't thought about that comes up. So just like getting around. So where can I where can they get gas for the car? Where can they get the car repaired? What taxis are available in town? What are the routes in and out of Innsworth in terms of buses and trains? Where do they go to? What times do they run? All that kind of useful reference information when you need it, but most of the time you don't need it, so you don't need to worry about it. But when you do, you can go to a page here and say, yeah, you can go to Kingsport. There's a bus every 20 minutes or whatever it is. Similarly, Arkham accommodation. It talks about, the different kinds of types of accommodation, short stay hotel rooms, bed and breakfast, long stay hotel suites if you're swanky and you want to live in a hotel like Al Capone, then that kind of information is all there. And all of this is linked to specific locations that we come to in chapter four when we actually start to look at all of the actual Arkham locations in detail. But this all links directly to those locations, so you're not left kind of wondering where is that on the map. It will tell you. And then there's a kind of section about finding help, because you're in a big place. If you need help, then 9 out of 10 times you can probably find it not that far away from you. So what happens if your character gets injured in the middle of the night while they're fighting deep ones or something? What happens? What are the hospital options? What are the private care options? Maybe they don't want to go to the hospital because they don't want to involve the police. So maybe there's a vet they could maybe persuade to, treat the arm wound or whatever it is. So all that kind of information is there, again, linked to specific characters, specific locations. But it's not just medical help. It could be business help. It could be, I need help researching this business, or we investigators, we want to start a private detective agency. How do we do it? It may be more likely kind of academic kind of research, and in the middle of Arkham, there's a big university, the Miskatonic University. What sources of help are available from there? And when I say sources of help, it's not just I can go there and find some references. It's actually, here are some named characters that the investigators could build a relationship with. It could be, they could become allies. They could become enemies, depending on how the dialogue goes. And so there's those kind of contacts, and how to, cultivate them and so on is all kind of covered in that. But it goes into investigative weapons and Massachusetts state firearms law, just so you know what the baseline is. And if you want to just hand wave that in your game, that's fine. But if you want to, be as accurate as you can, we put that in there and what that means. And then there's a bit about Pulp Cthulhu in there. If you want to kind of use Arkham in Pulp Cthulhu, what kind of things might you want to kind of adjust or dial up? There's some in there. And then the whole chapter ends with some pages of rumors and gossip, which are just a whole bunch of kind of things could be heard on the street, or an NPC could mention while they're talking to you, which could inspire different scenarios or give them a clue, or just help to kind of build that kind of general kind of atmosphere that Arkham is a town full of secrets.
And there's a section here about Arkham Coven. I assume that's just a local book club, nothing to worry about, nothing like
Nothing to
that.
worry about. If you're a player, obviously close your ears now. But if you're a keeper, there's a whole section about the Arkham Coven, which feature, well, certain characters within the Coven feature in some of Lovecraft's kind of seminal Arkham stories. And obviously, what we've done is kind of well, what does the Coven look like in 1922? Who are all the members? Where do they work? What's their cover story? What does the Coven get up to? And so there's a whole load of information about the Coven that can, sit there and inspire you to maybe run a. You could run them as they are the basis for your villain potentially in a long-running campaign. They could actually be helpers. They could become an ally, or characters within the Coven could become allies. They could be enemies. All of that is there again, presented as a kind of a. As a foundation for saying here is a secret organization that exists in, well, not in plain sight, but in Arkham, that you can use throughout a campaign, either as the main kind of antagonists or as this kind of strange kind of neutral faction that could become allies or enemies at some point, but they exist. And maybe if you event you know if you come on to find out they exist, what do you do about it? So that it provides again that kind of another route for the scenario design, basically.
Chapter 4, Guide to Arkham. You're definitely the biggest section. You have nine neighborhoods, plus some information about the outskirts, some of the lands around the city. We'll be probably spending 2 hours talking about each section and talking
Yes.
about it in detail. So how about you just talk about what are some things that stand out to you? I mean, each one is fleshed out perfectly. Each section you could probably have a whole set of campaigns in. For the sake of time, is there anything that really stands out to you in this section?
It's difficult to kind of pinpoint one out of them all, but I mean, what I can say kind of generally is that each neighborhood does kind of have its own distinct kind of sensibility and feeling. So, North Side and downtown, the social economic, there are differences. People live in bigger houses in North Side. People that kind of run the town live there. People who live down in the lower South Side are the kind of the industrial workers, they're the manual laborers, and so you get these kind of socioeconomic changes. And obviously this all weighs into you as a character when you are, if you're deciding where do I live, it kind of helps to determine what kind of socio background you might have or who your contacts might be. Because if you live in Lower South Side, you're not, you're unlikely to be having contact with the kind of the elite of Arkham, whereas the guys who move the garbage, who sweep the roads, who work in the factories, and that could be more useful because they see a lot more potentially. So you've got those kind of different strands. But if I'm going to kind of pick one to kind of talk a little bit more about, then the campus neighborhood right in the middle of Arkham is Miskatonic University. And so what we've done is we've detailed, the university itself. So if you can think of like the university's own mini town within the bigger town, you've got all of the different departments, who runs them, who are the academics, what's their specialties. And the Orn Library, which is, got its restricted, well, will have its restricted collection of Mythos books. What books do they actually have there? What books might they later gain? How do you access those books? And so on. All of that is kind of presented for you. So you could literally set a campaign in Miskatonic University and hardly go out into Arkham if you wanted to. And of course, that links to pre-published campaigns we've already done, like A Time to Harvest, which takes part in Arkham and the Miskatonic University. And you can use that campaign alongside the Arkham book to, again, add further depth and options. But that is all kind of mapped out for you. I mean, we have there's a section on what do the professors know about the mythos, and there's a real kind of if you take the kind of Lovecraft stories as a baseline, then there's what happened, what people know before the events of the Dunwich Horror story, and then what happens after that, and there's a real kind of dividing line there. So in the years kind of from the early 1920s up until the Dunwich Horror in about 19, I'm trying to, I'm going to get the date wrong now, but 1928, I think, 1926, 1928. There's a list of professors and what they might know about the mythos and what they think of it. And most of them are going to think, well, it's stuff written in a book. It's a lot of nonsense, but it's kind of interesting. Then come the Dunwich Horror and certain academics have actually dealt with and experienced the mythos. Their perception has completely changed, just like investigators who, before they encounter the mythos and then after, it changes them. And so, that shows you that kind of change and the difference in how they may react to a bunch of investigators coming up and asking about Cthulhu. You might get a very different answer in 1924 to 1929, depending on who you're asking. And so we kind of try and cover that information in there as well in that particular section of the of chapter four.
My questions have been in the perspective of someone that has that's familiar with Call of Cthulhu or familiar with the previous source book. Would you say this is still though very newbie friendly in a sense that it's not it's people that could, anyone new that looks into this won't be too lost into
Yeah,
all this information.
I've tried to kind of present it in a one in kind of a logical fashion. So, we start off with the history, we move into kind of the general stuff, and then we start to kind of build down into different areas of the specifics. But much like a book like the Malleus Monstrum, the big collection of monsters and alien gods we've put out, it's not necessarily a book you're going to read from end to end. There are certain, the earlier chapters you probably will read more like a book and kind of, get an idea and get a feel for it. But when you get to things like chapter four, which is as you say, a big chapter with, 10 neighborhoods kind of effectively kind of outlined and detailed, it's unlikely, you're going to read them all, to the same degree as you go through. And so that becomes more of a reference work, something to kind of, to flick through from time to time, get in, and as you, read about these different locations and their characters and their mysteries, one might jump out and think, actually, that's what I'm looking for. That's a hook I can build a scenario on, or that's a direction I can take my campaign in that I'm running with my players. Because you don't need to learn all of this. This is why it's in a book. You can use it as a resource and a reference as and when you need things. So like I said about the travel in and out of Arkham, you don't need to know that. You just need to know that you can find it when you need it. And that's the same for many of the things in the book. So you don't need to worry about learning how characters improve their skills until they've done an adventure or two. And when they start to say, how can I improve my language skills? Look it up in the index, go to that, it will tell you exactly what you need. And so it's a resource that you can use, as you need it, basically. So hopefully, those coming to, Arkham, whether they're new to Call of Cthulhu or, new to the idea of Arkham, hopefully, there is something for everyone in the book. And and can make use of it in a fairly user-friendly way. And equally, if you're an old hand and you've got the old Arkham book on your shelf and you know it from heart, you pick up this book and you're going to be learning some new things as well. There's some more, a lot more kind of hopefully useful content for you in terms of gaming content and setting content for you to be re-inspired, hopefully, to have adventures and exploits happening in and around Arkham.
Chapter 5, the appendices or appendices. Pretty self-explanatory. You got your game aids, Arkham names and chronology, and some resources keepers can use. Anything you want to say about this section?
I think, I mean, it just it, well, as you say, game aids. There's a number of kind of pieces of information dotted throughout the book, and so I just put them all, copied them, duplicated them at the end in the appendices to so again for quick reference and ease for the keeper. You could just go there and find most, 9 out of 10 times, hopefully, what you need when it's about, what's the weather today in Arkham going to be like, or remind me of the names of the different hotels because the players are asking where they may want to stay. It's all kind of in that section there, in a kind of quick reference kind of style. The other thing, there's a Lovecraftian chronology in the appendices, which so if you want to kind of run games or a campaign that are very much based out of the original kind of Lovecraft stories set in Arkham, there's a chronology of what happens and when to who. So if, for instance, if you're running a campaign in Arkham and you think, actually, I'd really like to, I don't want to run anything else, but I want to run, I want to tell our version of the story, the thing on the doorstep. You can look here, right, that takes place in this year, in this month. These are the characters concerned. And then you can kind of refer back to the chapter four where those characters live, and it gives you more information there as well. So you can kind of map, if you want to, map or be inspired by some of the original stories and retell them in your own way with your group of players. So it kind of gives you a kind of a mythos context for Arkham in that way. So what I've tried to do is just provide many, many different kind of ways to inspire you to come up with a cool idea to run in Arkham. That's really what the intention of the book is. Hopefully, even if you dip in and out, something will catch your eye and you go, actually, that sounds like that could be fun. I'm gonna put my players through that mill or whatever it is, so yeah.
So if I may ask, what is next for you? Is there anything you can share that you're possibly might be
Sure,
working on?
sure. There's two sides to this. One, the obvious next step would be the next book in the kind of Miskatonic Valley range. So I'm currently, I mean, still a ways away from actually coming out, but I'm currently kind of working on the Innsmouth book, and kind of doing exactly the same as what I did with the Arkham book, but for Innsmouth, and kind of looking at the older edition of it, looking at how we can improve that, what else we can expand it with in terms of what would be useful. And so I'm kind of in the middle of doing that at the moment. But in terms of things more like, coming more quickly in terms of on the heels of Arkham, we do have a couple of scenario collections. One is a mini campaign called The Order of the Stone, and part of that takes place in the Arkham area. I can't really say a lot more without giving the plot away, but that's coming. And we also have another smaller scenario collection of very much in a style to the other book we have out called Gateways to Terror, which is three scenarios that are just a single night of play. So maybe they last for an hour, 2 hours. They all come with sets of pre-generated characters, and they provide three, different kind of situations that the characters can find themselves in. And so these can be used as either as starting adventures for a new group of players, or they can build on the adventures from the starter set, or indeed build on the adventures going from Gateways to Terror. So they're great for kind of new players. Equally, they're great kind of fillers and kind of alternates for inserting into another series of scenarios you may be running. So they've got a lot of, a lot of practical use there. So those two books are kind of following. And the only other one I can kind of mention at the moment, and only a little bit, is to say that we're also kind of putting the final touches together for what will be the new edition of Cthulhu by Gaslight, the kind of Victorian era setting for Call of Cthulhu, which I'm really excited to see coming together now. So that's not too far off in the future, but that's also on its way. So you could use the Arkham book to be playing Cthulhu by Gaslight and have your characters in Victorian Arkham if you like. It's the opportunity is there to do.
Oh, that's excellent. Excellent. So yes, Call of Cthulhu Arkham coming out in February 2024. At least PDF first, and then I assume it'll be in bookstores much later.
Yeah, don't hold me to it, but I think our intention, if it all goes well, with shipping and warehousing all happening, as it should, hopefully we're having the print book and PDF released on the same day.
So, any last words before we wrap up?
Not really, other than to say thank you, thanks for the time and the chance to talk a bit about the Arkham book. I hope people, give it a look and give it a go. And I look forward to kind of hearing about people's gaming in Arkham. That's really cool to hear when people contact me or come up at the convention and tell me about their Arkham campaign. I'll know that, hopefully that book was a success then. So so looking forward to that. And thanks again for the time, and look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Indeed, indeed. So, viewers, thank you for watching. I'll put a link to the product in the description below. Thank you for watching. Stay safe out there. Make sure you have your phone charged. You don't want to get lost in Massachusetts. Take care, everyone.